Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to a following on special podcast from TalkSport. The team are back in Barbados, and after that surprising 2-1 defeat in the tests, it's a chance for England to extract some revenge over the West Indies. Preparation begins tomorrow, so today, another opportunity to listen back to a brilliant interview between Jared Kimber and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. The topic? Three deliveries. A slower ball Yorker, a back of a length snorter, and that wide. Take a listen, enjoy, and if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe through your favourite podcast app and stay up to date with all the news from England's tour of the Caribbean. You're listening to Following On.
So, Harmy, I was looking through my notes of when I used to write about you when you played, and I found this. Steve Harmison is part animal, part machine. Sometimes it's a killer robot saber-toothed lion, and other days it's a guinea pig and an electric tie organizer. You were very inconsistent, but you could be absolutely brutal when you got it right.
Yeah, well, on the joking side of it, I used to say, if I didn't know what was happening at 90 mile an hour, the bloke 22 yards away had less chance. And there was actually, when it happened, that me and NASA do talk about it now and again when we were in, there was the Lilac Hill game when he was captain, makes the joke, are you going to finish the over, when he used to say when he was standing at mid-off, that's NASA's humour. But also during Perth when I lost my run-up and I was bowling 10 mile an hour faster when I couldn't run compared to when I could run. And I remember walking back during that spell, Ricky Ponting, who I think is the best player I've ever played against, was standing there and he was looking at me and going, Hammy, we don't know when you're going to get let go of the ball. I said, but it's faster. And he went, yes it is. And I went, good luck then. And it was, then Damian Martin was down the other end. We had, if it wasn't so serious, it would have been funny. I actually bowled better with a run-up that I couldn't quite get. But no, I agree. There was times that things went right. I think long limbs and rhythm. I was a very rhythmical bowler, and if I didn't get it quite right because of being tall, being quick, the wicketkeeper being that little bit further back, it did. If it just missed down leg side, by the time it got to the keeper, it looked quite ordinary and awful. But there was times where it was devastating, like you say, and I always tried to work to the theory that if I could bowl fast enough and keep it going fast, I always had good bowls and good spells in me. So if I wasn't troubling by going for too many boundaries, I would get somebody good out when he was 22 yards away from me. And I think that's what a lot of captains, how they use me, to be fair. You know, Michael Vaughan used to say to me, look, I'm not bored, just make sure it's quick. And if you're telling me that you're not sure what's happening, I'll put a third man down, I'll put a deep point out, and I'll put a deep square and just bowl short. Just bowl bouncers, because nobody likes pace. Nobody in the world likes pace, not extreme pace. And then when you start getting, we'll start bringing people in. So the captains understood, they used me in that way. But you know, once the pace wasn't there, that's when you became a little bit of a liability.
When you were a kid, did you dream of being a cricketer?
No, not one bit. I think it was up until I was about 16 before I even thought about playing cricket.
You were a bricklayer at times?
I was actually doing, when I come at Durham, I was doing a bricklaying course. I left school without any qualifications, and I mean none. I did a bricklaying course, and I played cricket for Northumberland. I think it was an under 16 or under 17 tournament, and I actually played against Durham. And Jeff Cook was watching, I think it was one of the Durham batsmen, 1, 2 or 3. And I was bowling, and within 2.5 weeks of that game, I'd played 2 second team games, and then I was in the squad for the first team game against Leicestershire. Leicester, I think we got bowled out for 100, Leicester got 500, and we got bowled out for 80. That's how good Durham were at the time. And that was my first class debut. And I finished my Brick Lane course the following year, because I had back problems. I didn't play a lot of 97, but that's how cricket came to me. I was playing club cricket at Ashington. I was about 15 year old when I realised I could bowl quickly. I was 16, obviously, when I got seen by Durham, and I made my first class debut there and then. And that's really the realisation of, I played cricket when I was from 11 year old, but it wasn't anything that I thought, oh, I'm going to be a cricketer. It was, I wanted to play football, only thing I was interested in. And then the cricket came along, and that really opened my eyes, that first class game, because the first class game come out of nowhere. Nobody knew really who I was, what I was, and it propelled me into something that all of a sudden got me a little bit of a fright, because I went on an under 19 trip to Pakistan. I should have lasted 4 days. I lasted 2 weeks, and that was the first time I come across Freddie. I was homesick, didn't know where, I'd never been out of the country really. One holiday to Alcudia with a family, and all of a sudden I'm now going to spend Christmas and New Year in Pakistan, 9 weeks on a 19 trip. I lasted a fortnight, and I think that's where a lot of the mental health problems came. So that's the quick uprise of Steve Harmison as a cricketer.
You played in the 2002-03 Ashes, and then you played in the 2005 Ashes. What was different?
We were better in 2005 than we were in 2002. 2002 was great. For me, it was great. I came back from 2002 with 10 wickets, I think it was. But I had Steve Waugh thinking I had something to offer. You know, that team I played against was a fantastic team. You know, and I reckon I hold my own a little bit as a young, up-and-coming international cricketer. And then at the end of that trip, I walked away thinking, you know what? I can play international cricket, because you don't play against Hayden, Langer, Ponton, Martin, Steve Waugh, Gilchrist, Warner, McGrath, Gillespie. You don't play against them every week. You play against them once every few years. Now, you've been away, you've played against them away. Yes, we got beat 4-1. It wasn't, from a statistical point of view, it wasn't a great tour for me, but I felt as though I competed and held my own. So if I can compete against the names I've just mentioned, I felt as though I could compete against anybody.
In one-day cricket, Ricky Ponting scored at over a run a ball against you. In Tests, he averaged over 65 against you and scored at 4.5 runs and over. What was your plan at Lords?
My plan at Lords, to be aggressive, full stop. Do what you do best, Michael, you'd say. Do what you do best, which is to bowl aggressively.
Right. That's the second time this morning that Harmison has... Well, that's cut the Australian captain. Hayden took one straight on the helmet. Ponting, I think the ball has snuck through that gap between the grill and the peak of the helmet, and he's in trouble here.
That's the hostility of Harmison and why he's been so good in this England attack. It's a big hit. He's a tough campaigner. Captain of this side now, and so he will want to stay out there and lead from the front.
I've got a different theory of what Lords was when the Australians got hit. I think the Australians were nervous. I thought there were maybe that little bit of insecurity of England can beat us. And I thought that proved in the first innings of batting. You mentioned the stats there. Ricky Ponting's the best player I've ever played, for the simple fact is my go-to ball was a short ball. When Ricky faced it, he tried to hit it for six. Others, I could maybe intimidate. When I look back now at that first morning of the Lord's Test match, Justin Langer got hit on the arm on a ball which Justin Langer has had throughout his career, and that's his go-to shot, which he just fends off, flicks it down the final leg and trots off up the other end. How many times has Matthew Hayden been hit on the head in his career? And how many times has Ricky Ponting been hit on the head in his career? Within a 15-over period, all three things had happened. And I say they were more nervous, and that occasion got to them first morning than what had got to England. Ricky Ponting, we wanted to be aggressive towards him, but we also wanted to bowl that back of a length that good back of length, which he struggled, and we thought he could get nicked off a tall bowler, and that's how I seen him get out. But it did help him being hit, because he wasn't as keen to come forward.
It made a huge noise, and then there was a bit of a pause, and he went off, and obviously the helmet had hit his face, hadn't it, and pushed the thing. Did you see the blood on his cheek?
No. Honest, no. Didn't see anything until I was back at the end of my mark. By that time, you're looking at 15 seconds. By that time, you are now, well, my run-up was 57 foot four, I think it was, because it was date measured. So I'm a long, long way from Ricky Ponting. It wasn't until it came on a big screen that we drew blood. By that time, it's a little bit... You ask if it's all right, but the moment's gone to really check on somebody. And that's another one of the regrets that you have, that we didn't go and make sure everything was all right. Justin Langer saying, he said to Strauss, oh, we had a war during it. And actually, I think we were. Because the feelings at the time was getting a bit touchy, but not to the extent somebody getting hit and hurt like that. So it was a disappointing thing that nobody went over to Ricky and seeing if everything was okay. If we had gone over, what would Ricky have done? I'm pretty sure what he would have said. His second one might have been off, and we would have been pushed away, because he's a tough man. But yeah, it's one of them moments in cricket where you get the odd idiot going, I bet you that's the best feeling. Yeah, never. The best feeling was when Strauss caught him and he's walking away, he's out, he's not going to get 100, and that's the best feeling ever.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Next test match in Edgbaston. Australia are chasing 282. Clark's in with Shane Warne. It's coming to the end of the day's play. And you bowl a slower ball that everyone who's ever seen that footage seems to have picked, except for Michael Clark. Can you take us through that one?
I was knackered. I'm going to tell you, I was absolutely beat. We were all out on our feet. Last over the day. Throwing everything. We've got to get Warne. We were saying we've got to get Warne on strike. First ball, I think it hit Clark in the armpit. The next one was in and around sort of helmet area. He wrapped him on a gloves. So you're not going to get him on strike. And Andrew Flintoff, Marcus Jaskothic, first and second slip, have all said you've got the worst slow ball in the history of the game. You can see it. They can see it before you even take off. Past the umpire, we can see it. Split finger, and Fred always joked he would go no like that as it's coming down, because it's the easiest one to pick. And like you're saying, you're right, I think everybody picked it apart from Michael Clark. And I think because of the barrage of short balls that we give him, it wasn't just from me, it was from the other end as well. We thought we had to get Warne out. Clark was the biggest bonus that you could ever believe, because we knew if we got Warne out, we had an end of player. You know, as much as Brett Lee had batted brilliantly in the series, up to that, we knew we had an end to play if we got Warne out. But to get Clark out was a massive bonus.
You win that Ashes. How does the 05 Ashes change your life?
Didn't change mine too much, being from Ashington, quite a simple lad from a simple area, yeah. From a footballing background, that was the good thing from being there. I wasn't the someone like Peterson or going to London or being in London or Flintoff. It was huge for Flintoff, huge for Vaughan, living in the big city. I wasn't in a big city, I was in out in the sticks a little bit, so it didn't change too much.
You go on to be selected in the ICC World 11, and then in 06-07 you take the new ball at the Gabba, and the whole world's watching. What happens next?
The first ball, the first test match.
I bowled a ball straight to Andrew Flintoff. It was a bizarre thing, but it was something that I've never shied away from. I do a lot of Q&As, and I always say, I don't mind you asking a question, just ask it at the end, because there was a fun element and a serious element in the answers. You know, I think from a realistic point of view and what actually happened, I missed the game at Adelaide, the warm-up game. I felt my side go about 20 minutes before the toss. And it was, do I play, do I not play? And I honestly did. And my backside dropped because I thought, side, 6 weeks, realisation, I'm not going to play in the Ashes. Not sure. So I didn't play in that game. And here, it was just a little twinge. That then really cost me. Whether you should have played in the test match or not, that cost me 4 days preparation where I could have bowled 50 overs, 40, 45 overs. I needed somebody to bowl overs. And that was a direct... it was a direct consequence on what was going to happen for the rest of the tour. I knew that deep down. And when I got to Brisbane, you do, and I keep saying, I make the joke, you visualise that 22 yards away, Justin Langer, he's expecting a short ball. We started aggressively. The reason why we have got the Ashes in our hand is because we started aggressively. And I always say, you pitch it up, swing it in, nick off. That's how you visualise and you see it happening. I believe I got 95% of it spot on. You know, just missed the middle man out and it just pushed it across. But I think, joking aside, I just tried too hard. I tried too hard. It's basically trotted the ball fast, ran in, probably ran in too fast, got there ahead of when I needed to get there, and when I pulled out across myself and not down. And I've seen it again, when I pull out across myself, I'm actually surprised it got to where it got, because sometimes it's happened. You see a few people, the ball will come out the hand before they've actually bowled the ball, and that was nearly that occasion. By the time I'd let go of it, it was on sort of second and third fingers. It was me first and second finger, and it was just because I'd pulled out too quick and the wrist had gone too far. And that, it happened. You know, Matthew Hoggard on the boundary at fine leg running in, and his arms are in the air, he's cheering. What's going on? Freddie's caught it. Nobody's cheering. Why are we not celebrating the first wicket of the Ashes? Because the ball has gone past the batsman to now it slip. Surely Army hasn't bowled a first ball to second slip. And yeah, Matthew, I did. So it was just one of them surreal moments. You had to laugh. I had to laugh. I tried. I was inside. I was going. My beans were going. But it was one of them ones. You had to laugh. If you didn't, you know, you'd want the floor to gobble you up very, very quickly. And I look back on it, and I got better as the series got on. And people will say, well, it couldn't have got any worse. And you're right, it couldn't have got any worse. But I think that the test for me was the mental test, that every single day I did not want to go off. Never wanted to go off the toilet, never wanted to go off to change of boots. I wanted to prove to everybody that even though I started like that, and even though I might not have bowled well throughout the series, and it shows you, I bowled the first ball to second slip, and I had to play all five test matches because England, we weren't good enough to play against Australia. We didn't have the materials. We lost so many players from that 05 series, and this is what we had. And to play the whole five test matches after that first ball, I felt that tested my mental strength and what I had to go and go through. But I also got a realization at the end of the first day when I got home. I got back to my room, and this is why I keep asking people when you do the Q&As, do it at the end. Because I got back to my room, and you know, you don't want to watch. I wouldn't have wanted to watch Australian TV because I knew it was going to be there. But then I seen Sky News, 8 o'clock at night, and it was England starting Barrison, Harmison bowls the first ball, the second slip, Flintoff catches it. It looks like England are going to relinquish the Ashes, and it was like bad news day. So quiet news day. And then there was two soldiers I was watching. Two soldiers killed in Afghanistan, and they're out. And I was like, wow, that's after me. That is after me. Are we for real here? And when people ask me and they say, how long did that ball affect you mentally? And I'll say 6-8 hours. Because once that game had finished and I had seen that news, I was like, this is just a game. There's real life here. And when that real life kicked in, and the realisation that that was what it was, and it, you know what? I'm playing cricket for England. That's why I got to Sydney at the end. Might not have bowled very well throughout that part of that tour, but the realisation of what that Sky News reel showed me was that cricket is, it's sport, but it's a job, and it's something to be enjoyed and loved. But there's other real life factors going on out there that are meaningless. And that's why I think I got better in that series. And it didn't just, I didn't want the whole world to open up and just let Steve Armisen drop down it and never to be seen again.
2009, you played the last two tests. You take two wickets in your second last over in Test match cricket, basically wrap up the Ashes win. And not bad for a bricklayer from up north?
Not bad for a bricklayer up north. I'm pleased I didn't get a hat-trick, though, because I'd already told Freddie I was packing in with him. I'd already told him, I think it was about halfway through that last session, I made my mind up that I couldn't play anymore, because if Freddie was going, the all-rounder was going, England are going to go down to four bowlers, and Andrew Strauss didn't really trust me in the first innings. I didn't bowl a great deal in the second innings. It was just to come on and mop the tail up. My body was slowing down. I wasn't as effective as what I could be. And I watched Stuart Broad just blow Australia away and Anderson. And I seen Swanee, and I thought, you know, Swanee doing well on the wickets. And I thought, you know what, Freddie's going. It's time for me to go as well. So I never announced any retirement, because I knew, I'd mentioned it to Andy Flower that was probably it for me. I couldn't do 10 months anymore. My body was going to let me down and slow off. But I told my mate, I think halfway through the last session, just after I'd come on the bowl, I said, me and you will walk around slowly today after this, right? What for? I says, because this is my last game as well. And I didn't want to make any announcement or anything, because Andrew Flintoff deserved a massive send-off and a massive fanfare for what he did for English cricket. And I just wanted to be on the back of it, because I was his pal and I knew I was finished as well.
This has been a Following On special. Tomorrow, we will be at England training ahead of the warm-up match this weekend. To never miss an episode, be sure to subscribe either on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcast app. See you tomorrow.
Stephen Harmison, very well deserved, well bowled. Australia in big trouble. All out 190. Stephen Harmison, take a bow.
That's the hostility of Harmison and why he's been so good in this England attack. It's a big hit. He's a tough campaigner.
Here comes Harmison. He's hit and he's found the man out there. Believe it. England have won by 2 runs. What a test match.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.